20th chapter. Just for your information, it's the Ten Commandments. And we're reading from verse number 12, which is the fifth commandment. And it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then if you'll go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verse number 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, that's a great scripture, isn't it? Honor thy father and mother, which is the, what? First commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with thee. And thou mayest live long on the earth. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word this morning. Touch it, anoint it, allow it to go forth unhindered. Bless as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Deuteronomy 5 and 16, Old Testament, says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Again, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee. No other scripture talks about living longer or prolonging your life than honoring your mother and your father. Not until you're just 18, not until a certain point. You know, I was honoring my mother and father when I was in my 50s. Whatever they wanted me to do, I would do that. It's just the proper thing to do. Jude 22 says, and some have compassion making a difference. Nothing describes a mother more than this scripture. The compassion of a mother that makes all of the difference in our world, all the difference in our life, to instill in us the love that she has for us allows us to have love for other people. Thank God for the compassionate mother, and thank God for a compassionate church. The church is really the mother of all spiritual life, and if the church isn't compassionate for other people, well, it's just not going to grow. The mother of all spiritual life. There's no expiration on being a mother. You're always a mother. Once a mother, always a mother. One lady said to her husband, as they became empty nesters, kids were all moved out, and she was sitting on the Davenport with her husband, took his glasses off and said, you know, without your glasses, you look just like the handsome man that I married. And he said, you know, without my glasses, you don't look too bad either. We really need to see how valuable the mother is in the family and to the church. It has been estimated that the working value of a stay-at-home mother is $131,000 a year. And I'm sure you husbands have been giving her many dollars over the years. But there are many things that, well, you just can't put a price tag on. Like kissing a boo-boo, getting up in the middle of the night to help a child in sickness or feeding, searching the entire house for a gerbil, cheering for a child on the sidelines while they're in a sport, scratching the back of your child at bedtime, baking cookies for a special occasion, unsolicited hugs and smiles and words of encouragement, these are all priceless. You know, we speak value into our children. They are what we can make them through our words and through our actions. Even after a mother is gone from life, her prayers linger on to shape us and mold us. And some of you, as I, have lost parents, but you still remember the words and feel the impact of their life. And I believe that most of us are sitting here this morning because of the influence of a praying mother. I know I am. Amen. If we'll be very clear, God is no respecter of persons or genders. A man is not a greater value than a woman in the Bible. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife," or the mother of your children, "as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So according to the scripture, husbands' prayers are hindered if they do not give honor to their wives. Want God to hear your prayers, respond to your prayers? There's a prerequisite to that. Notice it said, give honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. It doesn't say that she is the weaker vessel, but to treat her with such honor. And the woman is just one of the stabilizing parts of the family. The word weaker here, I saw this yesterday. I've never really looked it up. It means spiritual knowledge. In other words, she has a greater spiritual knowledge than even the husband in many cases. God has given women spiritual insight and a sensitivity in the spirit that perhaps will never happen in a man. Perhaps that's why she is used more in the gifts of the Spirit, open to God's voice, than many times men are. Women also have a natural nurturing that is a part of their DNA, more compassionate, more caring, more sympathetic to situations in the family. And when you look up the word mother in the Bible, the Hebrew definition says the bond of the family. I know that when we're in Mexico, the greatest holiday in their culture is the mother, because she is so important to the family. Genesis 3:20 says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." We all have a great, 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 great grandmother. My wife is going to be a great grandmother. Not just a grandmother. Michael's mother is going to be a great grandmother. Amen. I'm going to be a great grandfather. Amen. I thought I was great in something, you know. So without a mother, there can be no births. Whether it's natural or whether it's spiritual. And if John 3:3, which says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," that means there has to be a birth before you're able to see the realm of God. Therefore, we all must have a spiritual mother, which is the church. If you don't have a church, you don't have a spiritual mother. Okay. See, there's another mother. Okay. How many here are adults? Wow. And for the rest of you, do you want to be an adult someday? Spring is in the air. There are birds chasing each other in our yard all over the place, and I feel confident you are mature enough in order to handle this type of information. The talk about the birds and the bees. You mothers are mothers because you gave birth, not because you're good cooks. Not because you're... not because, you're a good wife, but because, one reason, because you gave birth to a child. Our sophisticated world is now confused about genders. Have you noticed that? Unbelievable. So let's start talking to them in first, second, and third grade about, who they are, They want to teach our children that they have options to change sides or to change genders. Now, here is where it gets a little complicated, all right? How many men here have given birth? All right, try to follow along with me. This is a little complicated this morning. In Deuteronomy 7 and 14, I'm going to give you some clarity in this area. Deuteronomy 7 and 14 says, "Thou shalt be blessed above all people." That's us. "There shall not be male or female barren among you, or incapable of producing an offspring." What was God saying here? Yes, man produces offspring spiritually. How? Through the teaching of God's word to people that they could be born of the water and born of the spirit. So even though you're a male, you can have offspring, or you could give birth to someone. The church becomes the mother of all spiritual life. And God's saying, all of you, both men and women, have a responsibility to give birth. Is there any questions now? No. Jesus compares the natural birth with the spiritual birth. There's nothing that is more parallel than the birth of the natural to the spiritual. If you'll turn to John chapter 3, very familiar scripture. Starting in verse number 3, Jesus is answering Nicodemus. His question is how all these miracles happen. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So there has to be a birth, a second birth, not just the first birth. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, that process is natural in all natural births, breaking of the water, taking in breath. And then verse number 6 says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." That word "sound" here in the original Greek is language. I can't see God, I can feel God, and there is a sound that happens when we're born of the Spirit, according to what Jesus is saying. It seems that everything that happens in the natural body also happens in the spiritual body. You know, we take in food and we grow. We mature both in the flesh, and we also have to mature in the spirit. We can get sick physically, but we could also get sick spiritually. The spiritual one is more deadly than the physical, you see. We can also die physically, we can also die spiritually, but there is one area that follows an uncanny parallel, and that's having a baby naturally and having a baby spiritually. Thank God for the mother, the church, that gives birth. Every stage of the birth process is identical, whether it's natural or it is spiritual, giving the church a vivid picture of what should happen in the process of being born. And you can't sidestep that, you know? Now, the world wants to teach our children about the birds and the bees, but it's mom's job to teach our children these things at an appropriate time. It's our responsibility. It's the church's responsibility to teach those who come into the church at the appropriate time what it takes in order to be born. In fact, you can't get the right information on the street. You know? You can't get the right information from reading a book. I have literally 40 different Bible commentaries in my office, and not one of them gives me any information concerning how the real birth happens. It only is taught in a true church of the living God. You really can't teach your children about these things unless you know who the Father is. There are many who would teach that you can be born again without the same process of the natural birth, and that is a misconception. I don't want to shock anyone here, but babies don't happen because you shake the hand of a preacher. I know this is adult material here. How are you? You're pregnant. I accept you. You're pregnant. No. People would laugh about that, you know, in the physical, but how can they accept it by somebody who pronounces them without a relationship, you see? Hallelujah. No, the same process has to occur in the spirit as in the natural. Have you ever wondered why a 1 and 2 day Bible study just doesn't seem to work at all? It really doesn't. It's because pregnancies take longer than 1 or 2 days. During a 10 or 12 week Bible study, there is a conception. The conception is the Word of God, the seed of God, you know, is a conception within you. You take it in, if you will, which produces a start of spiritual life, a conception. I see it happening about the third week in a Bible study, and all of a sudden there's some kind of movement in that first trimester of, wow, I'm feeling something growing within me. Just a side note, did you know that elephants have a 20-month pregnancy? Of course they bring a trunk with them. Each of us are a result of an intimate relationship between a man and a woman. Not two men, not two women. And when we are born again, we are a result of that intimate relationship between the church, the mother, and God, the Father. You see, the Word is a seed planted in our heart that starts to grow. There's something that happens. I've seen it so many times over the years that people sitting under the Word of God, all of a sudden, their attitude, their desires, their tastes change until they finally get this stirring within them because the mother is giving the proper nourishment to the child or by the Word. Did you know that a natural baby has developed their taste buds at 7 weeks, long before they ever have arms or legs? I thought that was amazing. Somebody dragged me to a Bible study, and after about 3 weeks, I was so excited to read the Word of God. Long before my legs ever took me to an altar, long before I could ever raise my hands and thank God, there was a desire within me. I remember after Bible study sitting in my bed reading the Word of God, and I thought, I never wanted to do this before, but the taste buds have been developed to consume the things of God. Now, there comes a time when the baby can't stay in the womb any longer. And the first thing that happens is they want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. They want to break the water. We immediately give them a name like James, Schumacher, Jesus. It's the family name, you know. That's when we give the baby the name. And once the water breaks, it's not long before you hear the baby cry its first words. It's really not intelligible, but there is a sound that comes out of that baby, and that is when they take their first breath of life. Spiritually, it is when we take the breath of God in us, and we too cry out in a language that, well, we never heard before, but it is evidence that we are now alive. We are born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you know that during the mother's pregnancy, the mother's heart rate increases 15 beats per minute? And the amount of blood to the heart is increased 30 to 50% above normal. The heart itself gradually gets bigger and still functions normally. This will preach. Someday I'm going to preach about this. When you have a church that loves God, all of a sudden your heart starts to get bigger. And the blood starts to flow. See? Doctors have studied the woman's heart who is pregnant to somehow help them with heart problems. And if, as a church, we don't feel as close to God as we once were, the best thing to do is have a baby. Get yourself a spiritual baby, and all of a sudden, your heart starts to pump more. In recent years, ectopic pregnancies have become more common. Ectopic means out of place, and ectopic pregnancy is when a baby starts growing anywhere except in the womb, such as the fallopian tube, with no room to expand, and because of that, the baby generally doesn't make it. The womb, or the church, is the only place that the baby can grow and mature. You can have a conception. People get excited about what the Word of God says, but if you don't stay in the church, in the womb, you don't have room to grow, you see. We need the church not only to be born again, but to be taken care of in those formable years. You can't just say, yeah, I had that experience, and then I don't need to have it again. It's to teach some things that can hurt you and to stay away from certain things that would cause us not to mature. What is also amazing, I saw this yesterday, to me it's just incredible. The baby's blood becomes the blood type of the father while in the womb. Now, the pregnancy always starts with an intimate experience with God, and some people who would like you to believe that there's a shame associated with marital relationships. God ordained it. How can you worship that way? God doesn't need you to get so emotional all of the time. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than a barren church. There's nothing worse than a church that won't have an intimate relationship. You came here this morning to further your relationship with God. He inhabits the praise of his people. If you'll turn to, in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting in verse number 12. Here's where the Ark of the Covenant is coming back from captivity. Verse 12, it says, "And it was told King David, saying, 'The Lord hath blessed the house of Obadiah And all of that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obadiah in the city of David with gladness. I'm glad I came to church this morning. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all of his house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sounds of the trumpet. Seems like God liked that back then. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, the wife of David, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Oh, thank God for the freedom that we have to worship God. The Ark of the Covenant is coming in here. The presence of God is, that's what the Ark represents. The presence of God is coming in here. Anybody get excited about the presence of God that's coming into the house of the Lord? And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place and in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering, burnt offering and peace offerings, he blessed people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all of the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all of the people departed, every one to his house. You know, when you come, you get something from God. You always get something. You feel more fulfilled. You feel more at peace. You've got more energy, it seems. There have been times, I've told my wife on, I preached on a Sunday morning and I preached on a Sunday night, and as I'm coming back to church on Sunday night, I'm thinking, I don't know if I have the energy in order to do this. I get to church and stand behind this pulpit and all of a sudden there is an energy. You may have dragged yourself here this morning, but there's a power and an energy of God that revives us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then David returned to bless this house. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens and his servants, and as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord." I'm not doing this to impress anybody here. It's before the Lord. "Which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than this, and will be base in my own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. See, worship produces children. Intimacy produces children. Glory to God. It's my right to enjoy a relationship with God. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Too much of this world has made it a tradition. It was something that you should do, not that you should enjoy. I was brought up in a church where, well, that's what we do, you know. But I really never enjoyed the relationship. In fact, it's really the reason for Calvary, that we could have this relationship with God. See, there's a correlation between marriage and baptism. Both take on the name of God, and both open the door to intimacy with God. You see, God loves people, but he hates sin. But when we're baptized in Jesus' name, the sin question is gone, you see, and now God can get as close to us, as intimate with us as he wants. And that's the thrill of it. Samuel's mother, Hannah, travailed before God. The high priest thought she was drunk. What's wrong with you? But she said, give me a son or I die. One day we're going to fly away. But here's a bit of information. I heard that it's perfectly safe to fly during pregnancy. I'll fly away, oh glory. Hallelujah. Do you know, I've accumulated a few things over the years, but when I hear the sound of the trumpet, I'm not taking anything except my family. It's the only thing you can take out of this world. Amen. As the musicians come, our last scripture is found in Psalms 127. Verse number 3. David said, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You should be nice to your children because they're going to be picking out your nursing home one day. It goes on to say, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy at the gate. Amen. There is strength in having a big family. You know, my mother's family, there were 9, and my wife's mother's family, I think there were 11, you know, in those days. You know, it was a good thing to have a bunch of kids, you know. It's a good thing to have a big church full of saints who love God. And you know what it does is being a part of a big family like that encourages us. We can come against any enemy. Hallelujah. You're the reward. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Mom. Thank you for going through what you go through. I read yesterday that a lot of mothers have morning sickness in the first trimester, and they have proven those mothers that are sick have the most healthy babies there are. I've taught Bible studies that have had more problems than I can imagine. People who, well, they questioned everything, but later they made the greatest saints. They were faithful and steady. Glory to God. It's good to ask questions. It's good to say, hey, why do we do this or why do we do that? When our kids grew up, that question came about just every 2 minutes. Why? Because your dad said so. No. That may have worked years ago. Do it because I said so. But now, Our kids need information. Amen. Do you love them this morning? Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?